America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 9 days away to the tip-off of the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League. The BAL was originally scheduled to begin play in March 2020, but the competition was postponed because of the global coronavirus pandemic. BAL organizers have decided to stage a two-week tournament at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. There will be 12 teams on the court, representing, in alphabetical order, the following African countries: Algeria, Angola, Cameroon, Egypt, Madagascar, Mali, Morocco, Mozambique, Nigeria, host Rwanda, Senegal, and Tunisia. The Nigerian team, Rivers Hoopers, has arrived in Kigali for the BAL tournament. Joining us now from Port Harcourt, Nigeria, is Iron Mike Mbonye. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt are representing Nigeria at the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League. The team, comprising 18 players and officials, are already in Kigali, Rwanda, for the tournament. Ogo Daudu is the head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club.
I think we have prepared sufficiently enough. We got all the support that we needed, and we did everything that we were supposed to do. Everybody is in top shape. We're raring to go. We've landed in Kigali, and we're just going through the process of self-isolating for a period of time before they will finally let us out to do what we're supposed to do. Still have some more time to practice and work out before jump ball. So whatever it is that we didn't complete from Lagos, we're hoping we're going to put it together here.
Odaudu says the team has no injury worries and is prepared for the tournament.
I think from the recruitment that we made, I can say that we are sufficiently covered and prepared for this tournament. We have players in all positions, top-notch players in all the positions. And with the local talent that we have, they are fantastic. I'm thinking we are very good to go.
Ife Ozaka is the general manager of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club. He says they are not scared of other opponents they will meet at the tournament.
There's no way we are scared or we feel intimidated by the teams that we're going to play in Rwanda. You'll recall that we have been on this stage before in the African Championships. There's practically no team in the ball that we're facing that we have not met before. Even if we didn't play against them directly, we watched most of them play. So we're not intimidated, we're not scared. We have respect for the teams that we think should be respected as much as they will respect us. But we don't fear any of our opponents. We'll go there, we'll play our hearts out. It's a game of basketball. There's always five people on the pitch. On both sides, you have 10 people, so nobody's bigger than the other person.
Ozaka says, as a manager, there is so much to learn from the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League.
Well, my expectations for this inaugural season of BAL, on a personal note, is actually to learn. There's already a whole lot to learn as a manager. There's already a whole lot of administrative things that I'm learning as a manager. In the bar, the organization, the arrangements, it's top-notch because you know that the NBA is involved in it. So it's a learning process for people like us as a manager. But for the team, I think our expectations are high. We hope that we can do well as a team. We have set our eyes on a podium finish. We want to play hard, we want to work hard, and hope that we can come out top three.
The inaugural Basketball Africa League season will tip off on May 16 at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda, with 12 teams from across Africa competing in the new professional league. The finals of the league will be held on May 30th. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. My name is Ronald Alalibo, the vice captain of River Supers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronald, and good luck to Rivers Hoopers in the Basketball Africa League. In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Los Angeles Clippers routed their city rival, the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Paul George led a group of seven Clippers that scored in double figures in a 118-94 rout over a Lakers team minus LeBron James. George finished with 24 points.
I thought our intensity was great from jump. We was in attack mode. We got to the paint, made extra plays. And I thought defensively we was just locked in on the game plan.
With the win, the Clips move into the number three spot in the Western Conference playoff race. Lakers star Anthony Davis played only 9 minutes and scored 4 points before leaving with back spasms. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. In more NBA results, the Dallas Mavericks defeated the Brooklyn Nets 113-109, and the Indiana Pacers clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 133-126. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more about the victories by Indiana and Dallas.
The Nets now find themselves 2.5 games behind the Eastern Conference leading 76ers following their fourth straight loss, 113-109 at Dallas. Luka Doncic scored 24 points, and Tim Hardaway Jr. added 23 to help the Mavericks complete a sweep of the two-game season series. Doncic only shot 7 of 22, but he chipped in with 10 rebounds and 8 assists.
It was one of the worst games I played, but we got a win. That's all matters. You know, just trying to, when you're not scoring, try to do other things and just keep playing.
Dorian Finney-Smith scored 17 points as the Mavericks reached 10 games over 500 for the first time this season. The Nets fell despite Kyrie Irving's season-high 45 points.
35 games with different lineups. You're learning on the fly. So, and we can say we're professionals. We know what to expect from one another. And when things are going well, we're happy, hoo, hooray. And then when things are not going well, we need to do this. We need to make some adjustments. And I think that's normal. That's healthy.
Voice of America.
LeVert scored 31 points, including 9 in the final 217 to push the Pacers past the Hawks, 133-126. LeVert also had 12 assists for his first double-double since being acquired by the Pacers in January.
My teammates put me in position to be successful tonight. My coaches trusted in me, and, you know, I expect a lot out of myself, and I know last night it wasn't there. And I just wanted to, you know, bounce back.
All-star forward Domantas Sabonis scored 30 points on 12 of 14 shooting with 9 assists for Indiana. The Hawks missed potential tying three-pointers on 2 late possessions before Indiana pulled away. Trae Young led the Hawks with 30 points and 10 assists, while Bogdan Bogdanovic scored 28 and John Collins 25. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In Tampa, Florida, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, stayed in contention for a playoff berth with a 131-129 overtime victory against the Toronto Raptors. The Wizards once again got great production from their backcourt, guards Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. Beal scored 14 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter in overtime, and Westbrook had his 34th triple-double of the season, 13 points, 17 rebounds, and 17 assists. The triple-double was the 180th of his career, leaving Russell Westbrook one behind the NBA's all-time record set by Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson. Meanwhile, Toronto's Cameroonian star Pascal Siakam matched his career high with 44 points. Siakam's career night also included 11 rebounds and 7 assists. The Raptors lost for the fifth time in 6 games, and their chances of making the NBA playoffs are slim. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Super Falcons coach Randy Waldrum will have a homecoming of sorts next month. Waldrum is from the U.S. state of Texas, and that's where the Nigerian women's football team will compete in a four-team international tournament hosted by U.S. Soccer. The world champion USA women are using the competition to tune up for the Tokyo Olympics. Portugal and Jamaica have also been invited to participate in the week-long tournament, which will be held from June 10th to June 16th. There will be four matches in Houston, Texas, and the last match between the USA and Nigeria will be in Austin, Texas. Now, the match against Nigeria will mark the first time the USA has ever faced the Super Falcons outside of a world championship. And it will be just the third ever friendly for the USA against an African country, with the previous two coming against South Africa. The USA is the only one of the four teams that will be competing at the Olympic Women's Football Tournament. The American women will be bidding for their fifth Olympic gold medal in women's football.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
Samson Omale joins us now with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of this weekend African sports action with the decision of the Emergency Committee of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, who, in consultation with the world governing body, FIFA, has postponed the CAF qualifiers for the 2022 FIFA World Cup slated for Qatar. The first set of matches in the qualification competition were due to be played in June, but the postponement came after taking into consideration the current challenges caused by COVID-19 pandemic. CAF said in a statement on Thursday, there will now be double match days in September, October and November, with the 10 group winners advancing to the final round next March. Federation of Ugandan Football Association Head of Communications, Ahmed Hussein, says Uganda will use the opportunity to intensify their preparations for the qualifiers.
FUFA will definitely also use this period to intensify the preparations for our opening qualifier matches in this campaign. We believe that the extra period will help us, of course, technically and also on the side of infrastructure, to play a big role in making sure that we improve in so many areas.
Jide Alabi is a sports journalist. He tells me that there are lots of positives Africa national football teams can take away from the shift in dates.
I don't think the cramped schedule will be any trouble for the teams, especially we all are aware that the coronavirus period has really slowed football down. So having this kind of schedule this time around, I believe the players will like it, the team will like it, because that will keep them playing, and that's what they've not been doing ever since coronavirus reared its ugly head. So for me, it's going to be a plus for the team, because that means they're going to play much more matches together. which is a very good thing for me. If it were to be the usual schedule and you don't have this kind of cramped situation, then you can talk like that. But right now, any opportunity for you to play football is good for your team.
He explains why this decision was taken, even though the continent is not as worse hit as Europe, South America, or the United States with COVID-19.
Africa is not worse hit when it comes to coronavirus, but Africa is worse off when it comes to infrastructure, owing to corruption and bad leadership across the continent, and which would affect the situation in Africa more than Europe, because they have the facilities, they have, you know, everything they need. All they just have to disturb them is coronavirus. Any opportunity for them, it will be easier for them to schedule and all that. Logistics in Africa is always very difficult, especially with the crisis all over so many parts of Africa right now. Africa has a unique problem which affects football and every other thing in Africa.
Africa has been allocated 5 places at the 32-nation tournament in Qatar, which has been moved from its traditional mid-year setting to November and December because of extreme summer heat. Staying with football news, the Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe says football in Africa needs money to invest in the youth and infrastructure. Motsepe, who was elected to the office in March, made the comment alongside FIFA President Gianni Infantino. He's also promising starting new competitions to achieve his vision of boosting the revenue profile of the continent's football governing body. Dr. Motsepe was speaking in Ivory Coast while concluding his visit to Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Cote d'Ivoire.
Football needs money. Football in Africa needs money to invest in the youth, to invest in infrastructure, to make the club competitions, the prize money must be higher, pay the players more money. Club owners must also be successful. So we will have to look at starting new competitions and getting new avenues to get money for football.
Staying with CAF competition, CAF has announced that the knockout stages for the 2020-2021 Total CAF Champions League will kick off, with the quarterfinals taking place starting from the 14th of May 2021. MC Alger of Algeria will welcome Wydad Casablanca of Morocco on the 14th of May 2021. And then on Saturday, it will be CL Blozidat of Algeria will be hosting Esperance of Tunisia in Algeria. In Johannesburg, Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa will play host to Simba of Tanzania, while Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa will travel to Cairo to face Al Ahly of Egypt.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now to coach recruitment, where the Congolese Football Association has confirmed that it had settled for Hugo Bruce as the Leopards coach, only to learn that he had opted for South Africa. The association's executive committee meeting looked set to announce Hugo Bruce as a replacement for Christian Nsiengi on Wednesday. That was the same day South Africa unveiled in absentia the former AFCON winning coach with Cameroon as the new head coach of Bafana Bafana. Fekofa, in a statement, said he had met 2 days in a row in an enlarged committee to decide on the choice of a new coach of the senior Leopards and had also started discussions on his salary claims. Bruce, who was endorsed by the National Executive Committee of the South African Football Association, will only arrive in South Africa early next week to share his vision. Buddha Mathante is the deputy chairperson of the South Africa Football Association Technical Committee.
We admit, as SAFA, that in the past we have made mistakes, so we didn't want this time to make the same mistakes. That is why we went for a reputable coach with African experience.
SAFA President Danny Jordan is already setting the markers for Hugo Bruce when it comes to player selection, with a preference for younger South African players.
So what we say to Bruce, here is a list of future Bafana players, 65 of them. Two of them are on the verge of getting into the Premier League teams in England. 6 are playing in Premier League in Portugal, and others are graduating in the top leagues in Europe. Then you have a team that's going to the Olympics in a very tough group, but there you have a base for the building of the Bafana team.
South African fans are not left out as they react to the announcement of Hugo Bruce as the new coach of Bafana Bafana.
I thought that we would get a local coach.
I support him because he's qualified for the job.
I'm not sure about the new coach because I don't think he understands
the style of football we play in South Africa. And I don't think he'll bring anything different to the game.
I think it's a good thing that they have appointed someone from outside so that that person will be able to bring change to that team.
Hugo Bruce will replace Molefi Nseke, who was sacked on the 31st of March 2021. And now to athletics, where world marathon champion Ruth Chepngetich says she is aiming for an Olympic gold during this year's Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo. Ruth Chepngetich smashed the world half marathon record early last month, clocking a time of 1 hour, 4 minutes and 2 seconds at the Nkole Istanbul Half Marathon to shave 29 seconds off the old mark. The Kenyan speaks of her world record-breaking experiences and plans for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games.
It has motivated me so much that I will do my best and I still work hard for the next race, that is Olympics, to deliver a medal.
Jackson Tui, chairman of Athletics Kenya, says Kenyan athletes are now shifting their focus to the Tokyo Olympics and the World Under-20, which will be hosted by Kenya after mixed results at the just-concluded World Relays in Poland.
We have quite a number of athletes who have qualified, and there are those others who have not qualified. We are having our trials next month in June, and we would like to see everybody who was qualified coming for those championships and the trials so that we can select a strong team that goes to the Olympics.
In basketball news, Rivers Hoopers head coach Ogo Odaudu says the Nigerian national basketball champions have high expectations ahead of the inaugural Basketball African League, which tips off next week at the Kigali Arena, Rwanda. The inaugural edition of the Basketball African League will take place from May 16th to the 30th at the Kigali Arena, Rwanda.
This is the first time BAL taking place, so it's going to be very, very interesting. Different teams from different parts of the continent, and everybody is coming here to win. We have high expectations. We don't just want to come and participate like we've been doing in all that editions, and that's why we had mid top-notch signings. But for right now, we just want to get out of our group and qualify for the quarterfinals. From there on, everything is going to take its own rightful place. But right now, our main agenda is beat one or two people, or if possible, top the group, qualify for the quarterfinals, and then we proceed from there.
I asked Coach Odaudu how the Basketball African League will impact basketball development in Nigeria and on the continent.
This is the rise of club side basketball in Africa and Nigeria as a whole too. The level of the game is definitely going to rise, and you are going to see this on the court as Basketball Africa League tips off. Club sides are going to recruit massively. Everybody is going to want to be at the BAL next year. And so as a result of that, basketball is going to get to a very, very high level. It's a good thing for club side basketball in Africa.
Rivers Hoopers will play against the Patriots of Rwanda, Gendarmerie National Basketball Club of Madagascar, and U.S. Monastery of Tunisia in Group A.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
Sporty greetings. I'm Ogo Odaudu, head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, your moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including a look at the challenges ahead for President Biden, who faces formidable battles to pass the rest of his legislative agenda on Capitol Hill. Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. Turning to rugby, the world champion Springboks of South Africa will host the British and Irish Lions in a test series. that will be played in late July and early August in Johannesburg and Cape Town. Ahead of their trip, the British and Irish Lions say they are well aware of the safety restrictions brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Gwen Uten has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The British and Irish Lions are scheduled to play South Africa three times starting this July. But during their summer tour, the rugby team will be faced with the challenge of carefully navigating health protocols that will be in place due to the coronavirus pandemic. And Lions head coach Warren Gatland told reporters on Thursday that with strict limitations off the pitch, playing the game of rugby will be the easy part.
Yeah, there's been massive challenges. We've probably done four or five different scenario planning exercises, looking at Australia as an option, the UK, the amount of games, South Africa, postponement, cancellation. Been through all those different scenarios. How do we handle being in a bubble? What happens if things do open up a bit more? So look, I think the rugby will be the easiest part. That'll take care of itself. It's how do we challenge, you know, mix the challenge up with all the other things that are going on. And the most important thing for me is to get those things right, you know, particularly off the field, and the safety of the players is first and paramount. Those kind of things are something that we need to get right, you know, with a group. If we're in either before going to South Africa, you know, can we go out to a restaurant and take over the restaurant, or maybe to a bar and do that safely? Are the players able to get out and go and play some golf on a day off and things, or can they go fishing? I'll be, you know, definitely guided by the medical advice and what things that we can do and the protocols. But yes, you know, those are the challenges for us, and if we get that right, we've got a good chance of doing well on tour.
The Lions consist of a selected group of national team players from England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. The team tours every 4 years, rotating between Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. The Lions are a test side, and this summer they will play a three-test series, twice in Johannesburg and once in Cape Town. But Coach Gatland says the Lions will first face Japan for a warm-up game next month.
We're excited about playing Japan. The way that their rugby's developed from an international perspective, the company rugby and the league in Japan has definitely got stronger and better, and it's created a huge amount of interest. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's great for rugby, and it's great that we can look to take the game globally in terms of promote the Lions as a brand, but also continue to develop and promote Japanese rugby, which is definitely gone from strength to strength.
The expanded 37-man Lions squad will be captained by Alan Wynne-Jones, who recently led his Wales national team to a Six Nations title. Some big names have been left off the Lions roster this year, and Jones says playing without them will be as challenging as playing without fans to cheer them on.
I think if we could get some fans, I think it would be great for the game first and foremost. It's hugely disappointing that, you know, there's highly unlikely we'll get travelling fans out there. This might change. I know it's unlikely, like I say, but that might. But you look at the South African game and what it's built on, the success they've had. I think three World Cups. Again, you know, it's not a stereotype, but it's the way South African rugby is, a dominant set piece game, kicking game, and that carry game. And, you know, irrelevant of how long they have or haven't played for, those things are always staple. Teams have traits that don't go and work, and South Africa have definitely demonstrated that over years.
South Africa certainly displayed their dominance on the pitch when they won the Rugby World Cup near the close of 2019. But the coronavirus pandemic has kept the reigning world champions off the field since they won the title over a year ago. After a new variant was detected in South Africa last December, Australia began this year with a proposed change in the test series that would allow their country to replace South Africa as the host nation. However, in March, it was confirmed that the tour would go ahead as originally planned in South Africa. And that is all from me, Sunny. I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Wraps up the May 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.